Center has announced it will close its doors March 31st. The CEO says they have been doing all they can to keep the hospital open, but it was not financially possible. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Notorious drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman has been found guilty.
This is a victory for the American people who has suffered so long while Guzman made billions.
I have to study it. I'm not happy about it.
President Trump refusing to say whether he will sign the bipartisan deal to avoid a government shutdown.
He's got
to
sign the bill.
The massive winter storm bearing down on much of the country.
Severe weather watches and warnings are in effect from coast to coast.
Authorities have just revealed that Skylar Williams, a student at Ohio State University, was abducted at gunpoint and killed in another state after a high-speed chase.
Three members of an elite U.S. Army parachute team and their jump overnight that went terribly wrong. They are in the hospital, at least two in critical condition.
As of late last month, the IRS faced a backlog of more than 5 million pieces of mail.
At-home DNA tests are surging in popularity. More than a million dogs have been tested. But veterinarian says dog DNA tests are not regulated and can be misinterpreted.
Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution of peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us. All who oppose them are indicted as warmongers. They say we offer simple answers to complex problems. Well, perhaps there is a simple answer. Not an easy answer, but simple. If you and I have the courage to tell our elected officials that we want our national policy based on what we know in our hearts is morally right, we cannot buy our security, our freedom from the threat of the bomb, by committing an immorality so great as saying to a billion human beings now enslaved behind the Iron Curtain, give up your dreams of freedom, because to save our own skins, we're willing to make a deal with your slave masters. Alexander Hamilton said, a nation which can prefer disgrace to danger is prepared for a master and deserves one. Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement, and this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement, and it gives no choice between peace and war. Only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better read than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. This is the meaning in the phrase of Barry Goldwater, peace through strength. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material computations. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. And he said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. We will keep in mind and remember that Barry Goldwater has faith in us. He has faith that you and I have the ability and the dignity and the right to make our own decisions and determine our own destiny.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Well, welcome aboard, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on Wednesday. Let's see, let me bring up Mr. Producer himself. The one and only, Joey Clark.
Hello.
Stock market is up 80. Man, me. 87 points and it's 55 degrees outside. Really pretty today.
Yes, it is.
It's sky's blue, a little chilly, but not no very little humidity. Very, very nice. So, had a little fire in the fireplace this morning. That was nice. Doing the show and doing financial work while sitting next to a fireplace. So, how are we doing today, big guy?
I'm doing very well. It's my busy, busy Wednesday, but I'm feeling good about it.
Busy, busy Wednesday for you, huh?
Yeah, this is the day where I'm here from 8:30 in the morning till, well, at least 7:30 at night, sometimes longer.
Well,
I could be working the fields, though, or as one drywall contractor put to me when I was doing construction cleanup as a teenager. He looked at me, he's like, talked to him, got to know me as, you know, I like you. Go to college. I've put a good living together, put food on the table for my family, put my own kids through college. This is one hell of a life, son. Go to college. Broken my body.
So he was trying to talk you out of doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You said, not a problem, sir. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Exactly.
272-9228. First time callers need to let Joey, the producer, know, and we'll get your name in for the drawing for the Fresh Market $50 gift card. $50 gift card from Fresh Market. Need to look and see what the specials are. And then any caller can get in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. What's in that $60 gift basket? Things that you put in there up to $60 in value. You can go over, but you've got to pay. You got, when you ring it up, you've got to pay for the amount that's over that. And it's anything that you pick. And you, man, I'll tell you what, it's a potpourri of fun at Sweet Creek Farm Market. Reed and Karen Ingram just do a spectacular job. They have got a place that is blowing and going out here. Okay, so you know the telephone numbers, and so we need to make our kind of the next step here. The wall got funded. They have a piece of legislation. Trump is kind of toying with them of whether he's going to sign it or not. And I tell you one thing, I'm not one of these big conspiracy type folks, but I think that the Dems have messed up big time. Because on the El Chapo Guzman, the seizure of his assets are worth $14 billion. And they were used for law enforcement.
Oh, wow.
You're going to catch that.
Wait, how do they liquidate 1,000 pounds of heroin quickly? Well, no,
they just seized his bank account.
Oh, well, that's awesome. That's pretty awesome.
So they've got him on lockdown. So Trump alludes to something in a tweet that you're going to hear about $23 billion. I think he's going for the whole Megillah here, the whole shooting match, the whole kit and caboodle. And this is, I think, and they're going to try to fight it, but we play the Mo Brooks clip for you, and he can do this under Code 10, U.S. Code 10, Section 284. And I think that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to rearrange some money. He's got the Guzman money he can get his hands on. He can get it on his hands on it immediately, but he's got plenty to do between now and then. He can just shuffle around money, and I think they're going to try to stop him, and he's going to fight back, and he's going to win. And he's going to just say, you have no jurisdiction over this. You right. can't tell the executive branch what to do. It says it in the Constitution that they can, it's a law that y'all passed that said I can do this. And they're going to be sitting there going, duh, 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 duh. So let's listen to Major Garrett. Now, Major Garrett, listen to the little slap that Major Garrett gives Trump.
Our chief Washington correspondent, Major Garrett, is here with a look at the next step in the president's effort to build a wall. What did the president get after all of this activity?
The worst deal of all the ones ever put before him. I mean, we should take this moment to identify that the great deal maker dealt himself the worst possible hand of all of them given to him by Congress, Republican or Democrat. But he has no choice. He has to take it. Very likely means he's going to sign it, according to all those who are closest to him. Once he signs it, we'll know for sure, but this is going to be the worst of the deals presented to him because it's the smallest dollar amount. He had a much larger dollar amount a year ago, even 3 or 4 months ago.
And is that because Congress railroaded the president, or is it because the president,
because
after 2 years,
there's fatigue
in
after the longest partial government shutdown. Nobody wants to go into that box canyon again, politically or from a matter of policy. So the president gave the appropriators space to do this deal. Appropriators made the deal that they could make and said, here it is, Mr. President, take it or leave it, and you'll have to take it.
He's also dangled another option, and that's an emergency declaration.
Sure.
How likely could that happen?
I think it's more likely than not. The president will say, look, I respected the congressional process. Congress is dysfunctional. I've told the country that repeatedly. And I'm now going to use at least some emergency powers to get some money because I've identified this as a national priority. Congress did not meet my requirements. I will use other tools to achieve that. That will try to address the criticism he knows will come from the right.
Okay, so Joe Scarborough said it. Man, Joe Scarborough said it. Good Morning America said it. Heard it on CBS that Trump, the great deal maker, didn't make a good deal here. And what he did, though, and I said it when it was happening, when we were in the close and shutdown, that they were going to move some money around. He was trying to get them to do it the legislatively way. But what he did is he basically got them to make a move on the chessboard that was a bad move for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to, they keep saying we're for border security. But watch how they're going to try to fight this. And they're not going to win. I think he's got all his ducks lined up, and he is ready to go. So he's got the money. He's going to go build it, and he's going to basically say, to hell with you. You didn't do it. And he's going to use that as a stick to beat them over the head come the midterm elections, or the 2020 elections and their re-election. And their polling numbers are down. His are up. He is going to be able to take this as a win because he's going to get what, because the end result was, and if you read the art of the deal, do you get what you want? Is the end result what you get? And if the end result is he wants money for the wall, I believe he's going to find money for the wall. Now let's listen to Major Garrett again.
Democratic presidents have done that same thing. What's the Republican reaction been?
Hostile. That you are overstepping your grounds and you should respect the congressional process. That's why the president's waited so long.
So
held it in abeyance to say, look, I gave this process time. I'm not satisfied. I'm going to go another route.
Speaker Pelosi also said there wouldn't be $1.
Right, and there is.
Kind of wall. And there is money there.
It's not for a wall. And look, we're really getting hung up because the president's rhetoric made us get hung up on it in 2016. Wall, concrete, whatever. Look, the experts do say there are areas that need reinforcement. That's a legitimate public policy issue. The president's pursuing that. He's just not getting nearly as much as he wants. And Democrats also know that there is nothing actually immoral about part of fencing that's reinforced that protects the border.
Very well said. So now let's go to the last part of Major Garrett here. And he's going to, again, he's going to be talking about the deal. He's going to get a little slap at Trump. Listen in.
And can we just be clear? For decades, Congress, Democratic, Republican, and presidents have all kicked the can down the road
sure.
on legitimate
yes.
immigration reform.
Right.
Is
and
there
one of the
anything
things-
new or different in this bill that would address what is a problem facing this country about dealing with illegal immigrants in this
right.
country, whether it's putting them on temporary green cards or anything, DACA, anything in this?
The
about
simple
that?
Answer is no. However, on the other side of this, there must come the realization that even with a president who has the most aggressive border security rhetoric of any president in the last 30 to 40 years, you still can't get this big border wall. That shows you the limits of our political legislative process.
Why doesn't he use all of that political power
to
address some real immigration reform?
That's going to be the next phase of this, because on the other side of this, worst deal imaginable, he's going to have to come up with a new approach to immigration, and it's going to have to be bigger and a broader aperture.
One that has affected his own companies. I mean, he'd had illegal immigrants working in his companies. They had to fire them. He should know, his own business knows that there's a problem.
Yeah, now, just hearing you say it's a worse deal that he could have possibly gotten isn't going to sit well with him, so it'll be interesting to see.
No, it's not, but it forces him to reconcile himself to the legislative process.
Yeah.
And once you do that, then you make different strategic decisions, and you establish different priorities.
And another shutdown wouldn't look good for his poll numbers either.
So it would not, which are in better shape than they've been recently.
Ooh, Major admitted that. 52% is what Rasmussen had him at. Positive, by the way. They're missing the point here. They're really missing the point. They think he got the worst deal ever. He already knew during the time of the shutdown, and then during the time of the negotiation, he already knew he could get his hands on the money. He was trying to give them an opportunity to do it, and if they didn't do it, it gave him a stick that he's going to beat them over the head with. Beat them over the head with it. And then what he's going to do is he's going to build a wall. He's going to add other things to it. I could see this money being used for more judges and all sorts of things. If you read the code on it, it's anything that has to do with law enforcement. Anything. So that can be a judge. That can be more beds. That can be all sorts of stuff here. So I want to see this little puppy happen. When he pulls the trigger on this thing, once they give him the money, because I hope he keeps his mouth shut, because I don't want them to take away the $1.37 billion, and I think they would do that just to try to dishonor him. But if they do that, then they're going to be the ones that would close down government, and I think he can get the blame on them. I bet they're thinking about this as we speak. You know, this time of the year, as we kind of enter towards the spring, you saw what happened yesterday not far from my house. Narrow Lane Road had straight line winds. You heard the reports that we had from Wetumpka, that 18-wheeler got knocked over, pulled the roof off the part of Lowe's. You had a gas leak they had to get in. They went in and power lines down. Well, this is why you need a backup generator. So when you have something like that happen, that you can still have electricity and be living comfortably. And where do you go to get that? Well, you go to Mr. Electric. I'm going to give you a telephone number to copy down. 334-269-8886. 269-8886. Mr. Electric, my good friend, Dan Black, go by and see them. Tell them, or call Danielle and tell them you're a Dan Moore Show listener and you'd like to get a pricing on a backup generator. We'll be right back.
Get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes, three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Advertising drives the local economy. If you own a business, radio advertising allows you to target and control your message. Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help you grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
I'm Dick Brubaker, and we have some exciting news to share from Brubaker, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, in Prattville and Montgomery. The 2019 Ram truck was named Motor Trend's 2019 Truck of the Year with the most hauling and towing capability ever. The 2019 Ram truck is the perfect combination of grit and grace. It's loaded with best-in-class features and more space, more storage, and more technology than ever before. And hang on, the good news just keeps coming. The Jeep Wrangler has been named Motor Trend's 2019 SUV of the Year. The legendary icon embraces its classic style and blazes its own path to modernization. The all-new 2019 Jeep Wrangler is packed with new features, including updated technology, design, and performance. Come and test drive the 2019 Ram truck, Motor Trend's Truck of the Year, or the 2019 Jeep Wrangler, Motor Trend's SUV of the Year, and experience the Brubaker difference. Better vehicles, better service, better pricing.
It's a better buy at Brubaker.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bell Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
I must have been through about 272-9228, that's where we are.
I love a man I leave.
Ah, yes. Don't forget they have the heart-shaped steaks at Fresh Market. And those wonderful orchids. Try. I love Winston's when I drop by there and kind of check out everything. They've got filet mignon prime and premium on sale. Plus some lamb, wrecked lamb and jumbo cocktail shrimp and ultimate lump crab cakes. All on sale just for you. Let me see when I can see the rest of the clips, if I could, or you need to load it in first. There we go. Okay, Nancy Cordes is going to be talking about the deal, and this is CBS also. Now, she's taking it from the Hill perspective.
Sources tell CBS News President Trump is very likely to sign a bipartisan spending deal that gives much less money than he wants for barriers on the Mexico border. The agreement would end nearly 2 months of gridlock and prevent another partial government shutdown. The president told reporters he was not happy with it at first glance. Nancy Cordes is on Capitol Hill tracking efforts to push the deal through. Nancy, that Friday deadline is fast approaching.
That's right. Time is of the essence, and no one here on Capitol Hill views this as a done deal quite yet. And that's because, A, they're still writing the bill, and problems can always crop up during that process. And B, the president hasn't definitively said that he'll sign it. In fact, he's made it pretty clear he doesn't like it.
The answer is no, I'm not. I'm not happy.
President Trump may not be happy, but he's up against a united Congress.
I hope he'll decide to sign it.
Sign it and don't cause a shutdown.
They're urging him not to listen to his TV allies who have rejected deals in the past.
The so-called compromise is typical of the D.C. sewer and swamp.
Compromise is typical of D.C. sewer and swamp. That's Schumer, by the way. Schumer, good old Schumer. Chucky boy. Okay, so let's keep on with Nancy Cordes talking about the deal.
The president wanted $5.7 billion for a border wall. The compromise gives him about a quarter of it, nearly $1.4 billion, for fencing, 55 miles of it in the Rio Grande Valley. Republicans say it's a start.
I don't mind him taking that as a down payment and finding the rest through executive action.
The president's in a little bit of a box because he said at one time or another so many different things that no matter what we sign, somebody can say he didn't get what he wanted, and he can say I got what I wanted.
The agreement is actually slightly smaller than the $1.6 billion the Senate set out in December, a sign of the leverage Mr. Trump lost after a five-week shutdown that left 800,000 federal workers in limbo.
Would the president have been better off accepting the deal that the Senate negotiated before the shutdown?
I think he's got a pretty good deal here, you know. The speaker said there wouldn't be a dollar for a wall. Well, I guess we're going to have an argument now about what's a wall.
The president's aides tell CBS News he probably will sign the deal and then look for more funding elsewhere.
It's not doing the trick, but I'm adding things to it. And when you add whatever I have to add, it's all going to happen.
I asked congressional leaders what they think the president meant by adding to the deal. They said they're not sure. Perhaps he's referring to executive action, but the deal is the deal. It's not changing. They want to hold the first vote by tonight, and they need to pass it in the House, the Senate, and get it to the president's desk for his signature by Friday night, Gail, if they want to avert another partial government shutdown.
Yeah, he's nibbling around the edges. He just needs to calm down so he doesn't show his hand too much. But I think that's exactly, and we said this 2 weeks ago, it's exactly what's going to happen here. So let me go to a break, and then we're going to come back with Senator Kennedy from Louisiana, the colorful Senator Kennedy. And he's going to be talking about the wall, and he kind of says some things in here. And they're going to talk about the Ted Cruz tweet that happened this morning.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
I must have been through about a million girls. I love them and I leave them alone. I didn't care how much they cried, no sir.
Liberty in our time. The Joey Clark Radio Hour. Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees.
From our super secret studios at a super cool radio station near you, it's the Health and Wealth Show
Now here's your host, the money man with the money plan. It's David Ernest. Hello, this is David Ernest inviting you to Folcarelli's Pizza every Thursday night starting at 6:30 p.m. And you will be able to sit down with me and Rusty and talk about anything you want to talk about. All you've got to say is the magic words, let's eat. Call me at 279-7431.
And don't forget the Health and Wealth Show weekday evenings at 7 here on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump administration sources tell Fox will not decide whether he'll sign a border security bill until after it's been finalized and reviewed. Top House Republican Kevin McCarthy says,
you're going to have to find some common ground. So it's not everyone's going to be happy about the agreement, but does it put a framework in to make sure that we're able to secure the border? That's what I'll be looking for in the language when it comes out.
The text of the bill is not expected to be finished and released until tonight. Another partial government shutdown starts Saturday if something isn't worked out. Vice President Pence is in Poland for an American-sponsored global summit on the Middle East and Iran. Ahead of that, he tells a group of American and Polish troops,
the United States of America will never waver in our commitment to our common defense.
The vice president also met today with Poland's President Andrzej Duda. This is Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by Dixie Electric.
Noble here with Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air. We are looking for the oldest air conditioner, water heater, and electrical panel in our service area. Enter today at calldixie.com/oldest contest.
Call Dixie and it's done.
License number 15033.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. A couple of nice days before the next storm system begins to affect the area. Today, sunshine, a little bit cooler, high temperature in the upper 50s. Tonight, clear skies and chilly. Overnight, low temperature drops to about 36. Tomorrow, a partly cloudy day, mild with a high around 67. That's not bad. Chance of showers developing by late Thursday night in the wee hours of the morning, and scattered showers and thunderstorms at times on Friday. Friday's high around 70. Looks like around 60 or 62 on Saturday for a high. Could be an isolated shower. And then scattered showers and thunderstorms possible Sunday with highs in the middle 60s. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Get set for your best life, your prime life, when you take advantage of Prime South Bank's great service, friendly people, and amazing financial tools. From free checking to local hassle-free loans, Prime South Bank will get you living your prime life. Visit them in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, and Montgomery. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
.272-9228 is where we are.
100 ships a day, lonely sailors.
Okay, let's listen to Senator Kennedy here. This is going to be a stop and go cut for us here.
And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works.
A big morning and a big question. Will the president sign this?
Don't know yet. I don't know what the Senate's going to do. The House, of course, is Democratic controlled. The House will probably do what Speaker Pelosi and Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez tell them to do. But in the Senate, as I said yesterday, nobody's humming One Shining Moment. This thing isn't over. I want to know what the president's going to do. I mean, if he's going to veto the bill, what's the point? Number two, I need to see the details. We won't get them until probably about noon. Number three, I'd like to know how we're going to pay for it. I know I'm in a minority on that, but we're spending taxpayer dollars here, not ditch water, and we're having to borrow every penny that we spend. Having said all that, Sandra, I thought that the Republican conferees did a pretty decent job under the circumstances. The president, with the other money he already has, is going to get about $2 billion to build a wall, and it is a wall. I don't care what anybody says, it's a wall. I'm sorry to upset some folks that don't like that term. And remember, that money is over the next 7 months. We get to start over in October. It's going to increase the number of detention beds. Our Democratic friends wanted to decrease the number of detention beds for people who have entered our country illegally and violated the law. And by decreasing the number of beds, in effect, what they wanted us to do was turn loose people who violated the law. I mean, I just found that breathtaking. This will increase the number of beds.
That's going to be another stick they're going to get beat up with. And again, that what they did is they made a tactical error that was there. Now, this all works is if you can message it and if you can get the word out there through advertising, through videos and things like that. And I can see a very, very, very aggressive campaign during the primary season starting in probably... well, certainly January, but maybe even December, and state by state, where you're going to Iowa and you're hitting that message in Iowa through a third-party group talking about the Democrats and Medicare for everyone, taking away your health care insurance, your private health care insurance, socialist programs, not wanting to defend the country, saying they were for border security when they actually were against border security. But they can message that. They can come up with something really strong. Okay, so Kennedy is going to be kind of like the White House. Is going to look at this in an optimistic way.
It would seem the White House, while the president said he wasn't happy, has been able to find some positives in this deal. Here's Sarah Sanders on that this morning.
This has made some progress. Nancy Pelosi said she wasn't going to give a dollar for the wall. This has roughly $1.4 billion that'll go towards the wall that the whole country knows that we need, knows that the president is going to make happen. In total, it gives about $23 billion in border security, which is desperately needed. It expands ICE versus abolishes ICE, like we've heard some Democrats talk about in the past. So there are some positives in this bill.
To be Mark Meadows, House Freedom Caucus, he's already spoken out about this, says the latest deal is not enough, referencing that $1.4 billion for the wall. He said it would take 20 years to complete the wall, working with those kind of numbers. But I'm hearing from you, Senator Kennedy, somewhat like we just heard from the White House, that there are some positives here and there are some reasons to be optimistic.
Well, there are some positives in it. I'm still not sure I'm going to vote for it, and I respect Congressman Meadows, but look, it's not $5.7 billion, but it's not the zero that Speaker Pelosi said he was going to get either. With the money already on hand, it's about $2 billion, $1.375 in the bill and another $600 million that he has. And that's over the next 7 months. I don't agree with the congressman. It's going to take 20 years to get the necessary wall built. I think we'll do it much faster, right? Because I think the American people support border security. It's a compromise. Am I happy we had the compromise? No. Do I wish it was $5.7 billion? Yeah. Yes. But it's not zero either, Speaker Pelosi wanted.
It's not zero either. And again, I think what he's going to do, and you're going to kind of hear this from this Ted Cruz tweet that he put out here, and he's going to be talking about the El Chapo Guzman money. Let's listen in.
But you want to know more. You're making that very clear.
Yeah, I want to see the details. I mean, you got to watch what people do, not what they say around here, and I want to see the details.
Yeah. That being said, Senator Ted Cruz has come up with an interesting idea. The practicality of it obviously is being questioned, but I want to share with you this tweet. He's proposing El Chapo and other drug lords pay for the wall. He writes this: America's justice system prevailed today in convicting Joaquin Guzman, a.k.a. El Chapo, on all 10 counts. U.S. prosecutors are seeking $14 billion in drug profits and other assets from El Chapo, which should go towards funding our wall to hashtag secure the border. What do you think of that concept, Senator Kennedy? And by the way, this is his last tweet on the subject. It's time to pass my El Chapo Act. He's actually introducing this. I urge my Senate colleagues to take swift action on this crucial legislation. Is that something that you would support or consider?
Sure. I mean, if we get money out of El Chapo, I'm all for it. He's not going to need it where he's going. He's going to be able to buy stuff at a prison commissary, and that's about it. But yeah, if we can find his assets, I think we ought to seize him. Ted's right. I'll vote for that.
Interesting. $14 billion could go a long way.
Well, I think it might. I don't think it's $14 billion cash sitting in his checking account. It may be hard to find the assets, but that's something we ought to do anyway, whether we spend it on the wall or not. But sure.
All right.
I'd vote for the bill.
Interesting. So I think that when I lay this thing out, that's what it looks like to me. And I think this is going to circle back around and bite the Dems on the butt. They got to get this bill signed first. And once you get it signed, then I think it's going to be off to the races here. And and all of a sudden, he's going to kind of reveal himself. Now, Representative Mark Meadows was disappointed in the deal. He's the head of the Freedom Caucus here.
All eyes on Capitol Hill, where a vote on a border security deal could happen as soon as today in one chamber. But our next guest warns it only kicks the can down the road. House Freedom Caucus Chairman and good friend of the President, Mark Meadows, joins us. Mark, you've had a chance to digest the framework and maybe more. Are you still against this deal and disappointed in it?
Well, I am disappointed in it. I mean, Congress should do better. Now, that doesn't mean that the president won't sign it to keep the government open and use it as a tool to do that. But really, right now, if we're looking at this, Brian, the amount of money that is here, it would take 20 years to complete the wall. So are we going to wait for 20 years to stop drug traffickers? Are we going to wait for 20 years to stop human trafficking? Are we going to wait 20 years to allow cartels to control our southern border? I hope not. We can do better than that. We should do better than that.
Well, one thing is true is that they've got to get to work. They're getting work on 2017 wall. Now they'll get to work on the new wall. So it's not as if they're going to pause. In September 30th, can you make this better?
Well, hopefully you can make it better, but we've had, at least the last 2 months to try to actually come together in a bipartisan way to do this. I'm not optimistic. I don't think the president is optimistic that Congress will help him do this. You've got a lot of Democrats who want an open border situation on our southern border. And when we look at this, Brian, what we have to do is have to encourage the president to take some type of executive action if Congress is not going to work.
So, I think Meadows, just because of his Freedom Caucus and such, is kind of saying that. I think that he'll be the first one out there applauding the president if he does move money around, which he certainly has the right to do. We found that out from that Mo Brooks discussion in the committee hearing for the Armed Services Committee. So let's say with Representative Meadows says, Prez should use the any means possible and other means to get this money.
Are you going to be disappointed in the president, who's a friend of yours, you talk all the time, if he signs this?
Well, I'm not going to be disappointed in the president. I'm disappointed in Congress. I mean, the president wants to keep the government open. If he uses this as a vehicle, so be it. But let me stress this, Brian. No one's seen the deal. They were still negotiating it last night. Democrats were trying to add things to this deal last night, and nobody's seen the text. Not even the conferees have seen it. And so at this point, if we're going to vote on a 1,000-page-plus bill today, I want to read it before I vote on it. So I would encourage the president to look at a continuing resolution and would help him to do that.
And there's going to be something you believe the president's got another plan after this is signed, right? To get some more money?
Well, obviously, it's been reported and been talked about in terms of potential executive actions. I would encourage him in that. He has statutes. There are laws currently on the books that allow him to do that. If Congress is not going to help him, I would certainly encourage him to use those laws to actually build the wall and get it done for the American people.
Everybody's kind of dancing around it. But you're hearing the same thing over and over and over again. So the guy that got found guilty on all counts is El Chapo Guzman. And here's the story about him and what happened in the trial.
The once untouchable drug boss known as El Chapo is likely to spend 23 hours a day in a high security prison cell for the rest of his life. A jury in Brooklyn, New York, convicted Joaquin Guzman yesterday on all 10 counts of a federal indictment, including engaging, rather, in a continuing criminal enterprise, drug trafficking, and money laundering.
His three-month trial completed a decades-long effort by U.S. officials to bring the fugitive to justice. His lawyers plan to appeal. Jerika Duncan is outside the federal courthouse in Brooklyn.
That jury deliberated for 6 days before reaching that unanimous verdict. Now, throughout the trial, they heard from more than 50 witnesses who really laid bare El Chapo's brutal and bloody reign as head of the Sinaloa drug cartel.
This conviction is a victory for the American people who has suffered so long and so much while Guzman made billions.
For federal prosecutors, it was a sweeping victory. Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, guilty on all counts and now facing life without parole.
It is a sentence from which there is no escape and no return.
El Chapo will likely be sent to the Supermax prison in Colorado, one of the homes to the nation's most dangerous inmates, including Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev and the 1993 World Trade Center bomber Ramzi Youssef.
So good company there, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, there's some serious people here. Let's stay with the story because you're going to hear about him as the leader of the cartel.
El Chapo's former associates testified how he ordered the torture and murder of rivals and defectors, sometimes carrying out the violent deeds himself. El Chapo, who famously escaped from Mexican prisons twice, once evaded capture by running naked through a sewer, according to his mistress. He hid narcotics inside planes, submarines, even cans of jalapeno peppers, a sophisticated multi-billion dollar operation that spanned decades. CBS News legal analyst Ricky Kleeman.
What we learned in this trial is how an international drug trafficking empire works. It is run like a Fortune 100 corporation.
Facing a mountain of evidence, the defense called just one witness and rested its case after about 30 minutes. El Chapo did not take the stand. After the guilty verdict was read, he flashed a thumbs-up sign to his teary-eyed wife. Defense attorney Jeffrey Lichtman.
Guilty. This was not a case where we had a defendant presumed innocent. He was presumed guilty.
El Chapo will be sentenced here in June. Now, the Sinaloa drug cartel that he once led still makes billions from drug trafficking. Biana, it's considered one of the most powerful criminal organizations in Mexico.
To be the most powerful, one of the most powerful, that's saying a lot. And this is some bloodthirsty folks, too. News Talk 93.1. Dan Moore Show will be back right after this.
There's a port on a western bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their home.
The Dan Moore Show.
There's a girl this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. They say brandy, fetch another round. She serves them whiskey and wine. The sailors say brandy, you're a fine girl.
You're a fine girl.
What a good wife you would be.
Such a fine girl.
Yeah, your eyes could steal a sailor from the sea. Brandy wears a braided chain made of finest silver from the north of Spain. A locket that bears the name of a man that Brandy loved. He came on a summer's day bringing gifts.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hey guys, forget the meetings, the deadlines, the calls. Valentine's Day is February 14th. You know she's expecting something. Admit it. She's the glue that keeps you together, and she deserves to be celebrated this Valentine's Day. Rosemont Gardens offers a wide variety of unique floral designs. We create romantic arrangements even Prince Charming would envy using the freshest flowers. Plus, Rosemont Gardens offers same-day floral delivery throughout the River Region. Let Rosemont Gardens help you create an unforgettable Valentine's Day for her. Come on, guys. She's more than worth it.
Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Dave, do you know why we're getting applications from jugglers and tightrope walkers?
I just posted on a national job site that this job can be a balancing act and you'll have to juggle many tasks.
But the job is for head of accounting. Some of the applicants include lion tamers.
Have you met the guys in accounting? They're animals.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
In a little cafe, just the other side of the border. She was sitting there giving me looks that made my mouth water.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1, WACV.
She belongs. 272-9228, that's where we are.
And I knew, yes, I knew I should leave when I heard.
So we know we have at least one. What was the question that he asked?
How is it if El Chapo was in Mexico that we could grab him, bring him to this country, and try him under our laws? It's because, well, his
extradition.
And the major part of his operation. We do have an extradition agreement with Mexico. And the most of his operation is going on in within the United States.
What? People in Mexico ain't for drugs.
Right.
And we can't.
I mean, the sad thing is, this is a huge bust. I mean, it's a huge conviction. But as soon as he got caught, you better believe somebody's taking his place. Maybe not within the same organization, but there's too much money to be made for somebody not to rise up and do the same thing.
So true. There's an Ohio teenager who defies his mother about getting vaccinated, and he did his homework here. Let's listen into a portion of the story.
A mother and her teenage son are at odds over the safety of childhood vaccines. High school senior Ethan Lindenberger says his parents' misguided beliefs about his health and the health of his younger siblings put them at risk. He recently defied his mother and got vaccinated. Dr. Taryn Arula shows us what can happen when children raised in anti-vaccine households start to get their own information.
Ethan Lindenberger says he turned to Reddit, an online message board, to help him find the truth about vaccines. After reading scientific papers and journals, he came to the conclusion he had to disobey his mother and get immunized.
I question her judgment, but not her care.
For most of his life, Ethan Lindenberger thought it was normal for most kids not to get immunized. But about 2 years ago, he began to see how the posts about vaccines his own mother was sharing on social media were dangerous.
You have something like measles, which is a preventable disease that we can vaccinate against, that I and many people believe is coming back because of opinions like the ones that have influenced my mom.
In November, Lindenberger asked strangers on Reddit where he could go to get up to date with his shots. My parents are kind of stupid, he wrote. God knows how I'm still alive.
I was like, what? I was just blown away.
Jill Wheeler is his mother.
There's a degree of feeling like, you know, he doesn't trust what I say as a parent.
The intention of that wasn't to blame my parents for anything or make them look dumb. You know, that again, that came from a place of frustration, right? And trying to deal with this issue and find common ground.
Okay, so he started kind of doing some research on this whole subject matter, and the mother was doing this knee-jerk reaction type thing, mm-hmm. And where she did not do her homework, but her son did. So let's continue on with the story.
His parents scientific studies that showed vaccines were safe and effective, but his mother remained unconvinced.
I think it was just straight up fear of him getting these immunizations and having a bad reaction. I think a lot of people look at this as a straight black and white answer, and I don't feel like it is.
Lindenberger is 18, and in Ohio, he's old enough to get shots without his parents' permission. In December, he got vaccinated for influenza, hepatitis, tetanus, and HPV. His 16-year-old brother, who's now considering also getting his shots, will have to wait. There is no federal law mandating children be immunized. Only 7 states and Washington, D.C. allow minors to get vaccinations without parental consent.
Very proud of him. for standing for what he believes in, even if it is against what I believe. He's a good boy. He's a good kid.
Well, you're hearing that last thing from the mother, that's a good mom.
That is a good mom.
Yeah.
And she was scared and fearing something's going to happen to her precious little baby boy.
Yeah.
If he went and got the HPV virus, I don't know what those cost now, but when we got it for William, that was like $500 out of pocket.
Not to give too much away, I don't think I ever got one of those.
Yeah, you voluntarily get it.
Right.
But it's, it prevents a lot of different cancers.
And women are more at threat, right, for like uterine cancer and things like that.
Well, men, I won't go too deep into the subject, but
sure.
When you have any type of basic cancer, basal tongue cancer, and things like that, one of the first things they look for is the HPV virus, mm-hmm. and was it there? And if you have the combination of that with smoking and drinking, your odds of getting cancer just skyrocket.
Right.
But the other good news is, because MD Anderson cracked the code on it, they can heal that cancer a lot easier than they can straight just smoking and drinking. So let's continue on with the last part of this if we can fit it in.
Anti-vaccine conspiracy theories often use pseudoscientific language, which makes them both potent and enduring. As we've seen with the measles outbreak in Washington and Oregon, there is a very real risk when parents buy into those half-truths.
I love the mom.
That
they can talk together like that.
So, Tara, where, if you're out there looking, would you go, other than Reddit, where should a parent look to go get accurate information?
So the American Academy of Pediatrics, the CDC, there are many other websites where parents can get a lot of information that have studies actually debunking some of the common myths. But I think one of the biggest and best places is to just sit with your healthcare provider, the pediatrician, and have an open, frank, and non-judgmental discussion. You know, it's been shown in surveys that pediatricians can really do a lot, because a lot of these parents, you know, with just the right information, they can make choices that may be better ones for their families.
And the mom was not judgmental against her son. There are not too many parents that could say on national TV, especially when he has slammed her that way, but he's a good kid, and I appreciate him speaking up.
Well, I appreciate him doing the homework. That is something, you know, I say this all the time, is you're responsible for your medical issues, and you need to become knowledgeable of it. Too many people just walk in, and they talk to the doctor, and they just do whatever the doctor says. They don't ask questions, they don't find out, they don't read, they don't study, and you really need to do that.
Now, on the issue of vaccines, anything like that, I think the more science advances towards looking at the particular person, like you can do genetic testing, mm-hmm. or what you're predisposed for, it's, I think in my mind, possible, a very tiny percentage that people do have an adverse effect to these sorts of things, which probably is the grain of truth that's led to this anti-vax movement. But I think there's something to it. And also, you go what we were talking about the other day, too many antibiotics. There are things in medicine that I think are questionable, and so any sort of skepticism can lead to skepticism that's unfounded.
Well, you'll see on all these ads you see on television, it said, you know, may cause sudden death.
I saw one for women for endometriosis, where it's like, might cause suicidal thoughts and bone loss. Like, what? Man, talk about damned if you do or damned if you don't.
Oh, man, News Talk 93.1, going to be back after our top of the hour break.
She started walking her way.
Dan Morris Show.